Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about how to deal with critics, trolls, and haters. I've had my fair share of experience being here on YouTube with critics, trolls, and haters in the last few years. So I think there's some ideas I can share with you here that can help you with this issue. I've been called everything from Voldemort to Yuri, the guy from Command and Conquer, and everything in between. So I'm pretty familiar with various slanderous criticisms that one can get. Here's the point. The point basically with critics is the following, is that life is too short for taking critics seriously. And you have a life purpose to accomplish, right? Right? You have a life purpose, don't you? Right? 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 A life purpose? You know what that is? You have a life purpose. You have a mission. You have a sense of meaningful work that you're doing. You have some sort of work project, a business, a career, something that you're kicking ass in. You have to have that in life. If you don't have that in life, if you don't have a life purpose, and you're not clear what it is, and you're not fully committed to it, and you're not living your passion in life, what's going to happen is that critics will run you down. They'll get to you. Because here's the bottom line about critics. Here's one key insight. I'm going to give you a couple of key insights here that's going to really change how you view critics. But here's the first one. A critic is basically a crab in the bucket. Have you heard of this before? Crabs in the bucket? So supposedly what they say, and I don't know, I've never done this, but if you take a bucket and you throw a bunch of crabs in it, the crabs will never be able to escape. Because even as one crab is trying to climb out, he can climb out, but the other crabs will pull him down every time. And so because of this phenomenon, you can have a bucket full of crabs and then they all die in the end. All together in that bucket when they could have been able to escape. Now, I don't know how true that is, but let's just go with it. Let's just assume that's true. So this is how I want you to see a critic. Whenever someone is criticizing you, he is one of those crabs. And now the important thing for you to determine is, are you going to be one of those crabs that lets himself get pulled down back into the bucket? Because that's a choice you have. A critic is ultimately a distraction to your life purpose. If you know what you need to be doing in life, if you have a sense of trajectory and you've got that dream you're working on, you've got that dream career, that dream business, whatever you're trying to do, whatever impact you're trying to make in the world, that should be at the top of your mind to the point where it eclipses everything else, especially critics. And let me tell you, if you're going to be accomplishing a meaningful life purpose in your life and you're going to be having an impact in the world, whether through starting a business or a career or some charity organization that you start or whatever, you're going to have plenty of critics. Because as soon as you start rocking the boat and you start making some splashes in the water, critics are everywhere. But let me give you the next key insight for how to deal with this. So here's something you got to really understand. This realization, and it takes a little bit of thinking about this to get this realization down, but I'll help you here. So here's the realization. You have to realize that an opinion does not change anything about reality itself. So you have reality, and then you have an opinion. And these two things are totally different. This might seem kind of obvious, but let me show you how powerful this realization is here with some examples. So let's take a common case. Let's say someone says that they don't like your work or that your work is crap, right? Common area where we get criticism is with the work that we do. Maybe you're an artist, maybe you're a musician, maybe you're a business person, maybe you're launching some sort of product or a service and people don't like it for whatever reasons. Okay. So how do we use this realization? Well, let's say someone tells me that my work is shit. Okay. At first, I have this instant reaction of like, oh, I got to defend myself. And oh, now this maybe means that my work actually is shit. And then see, and then this kind of puts me into this kind of downward spiral of starting to doubt myself and getting into this kind of depressive mode and all that. That's why criticism is painful to us, is that we kind of think like, well, what if there's something true about this criticism? And then somehow that now this changes things. But see, it changes nothing really. Why is that? If someone tells me that my work is shit, we've got two options. Either my work is shit or it's not shit. But whatever the case, my work did not change. The truth did not change. Reality did not change simply because someone told me that my work is shit. Now, granted, it might be the case that my work actually is shit. Maybe I'll later come to realize like, oh man, they were right. My work is bad. But notice that that's an opinion too. That's my personal opinion if I start to believe that. And that's fine. It might be a valid opinion, but I have a choice about what I choose to have an opinion on. And also notice that even when I make the decision that my work is bad, that still did not change the work that was originally there. So let's say that I'm feeling great about my work. Then all of a sudden, someone comes and says my work is crap. Then I start to maybe doubt myself and start to think, oh yeah, maybe it is crap. But look, the work itself didn't change that whole time through. When I was feeling great, the work was the same. When someone told me it was crap, the work remained the same. And when I started to believe it was crap, it still remained the same. So reality didn't change. This is a very powerful thing. You got to start to see how powerful this is. Because what you should be doing as you're self-actualizing, you should be learning to align yourself with reality and with truth. Truth and reality are your saviors. Most of the neurotic problems and emotional issues that we have, all the dissatisfaction with life that we have, is not because there's something fundamentally wrong with reality. It's because of how we look at reality that we have problems. So we're facing that right here. Let me give you another example. So let's say someone says that you're ugly, or they criticize your looks in some way. Maybe your hair, your dress, whatever, right? A lot of people are very sensitive to personal appearance criticisms. So same thing. Think about this. When someone says that they hate your hair and it's crappy, at first it's like, oh man, you hate my hair. My hair must be bad. And then I need to go get a new haircut or something like this. Okay, maybe even your hair is bad. But look, your hair didn't actually change by them telling you that. Nor did it change by you starting to believe it either. So you have to separate what's real. The hair is what it is. And then what people believe about it and what you believe about it. Two totally different things. Now, of course, if you start to believe that it's bad, you can go get a haircut and change it if you want. All right? But that's like an option that you have later on. The key here to not be reactive to criticism is to understand that, oh, nothing changed. I mean, it feels like when someone tells me something negative or bad, it feels like something changed about reality. The trick is to understand that nothing really did change. Another example, let's say someone says that you're stupid or that you hold some sort of wrong belief. Or if you're in an argument, then you're espousing a wrong argument. So again, did your intelligence change because they told you that? No. Did your IQ level change? No, it stayed the same. If you hold a wrong point of view in an argument, if you hold a false belief, let's say you hold a belief that's factually false. Okay, maybe you do. If someone tells you, hey, your belief is false, maybe it is. But that doesn't change the fact that you held that belief. So right now, you might feel bad because someone tells you that, hey, there's something factually wrong in your model of the world. But if it's true that there's something factually wrong in your model of the world, then it's true and it's always been true. Now, you could change that in the future, but just because someone else believes it or you start to believe it doesn't change it. You see? You have to open yourself up to what's factually correct, what's factually true. Reality. If you're wrong, just be honest that you're wrong. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with being wrong per se. Let's give another example. Let's say someone accuses you of doing some sort of immoral or evil act. Let's say someone calls you a liar or a cheat or a thief or something like that, and you're innocent, and it's like, well, no, I'm innocent. I want to protect my innocence. And so you get all, your panties get in a twist because someone wrongly accused you of lying or cheating or stealing. Okay, and that, you know, that's usually emotionally disturbing for us. But again, you have to realize, wait a minute. Did reality change because someone called me a cheat or a thief or a liar? No. Didn't change. Even if I did cheat or steal or lie, well, then that's what's true. Someone pointing it out to me doesn't change it. It's already been true. It was already true before it was pointed out to me. So if someone points it out to me, nothing changes. You see? Let's say another example, your parents hate your lifestyle choices. Let's say you pick a career or you pick a major at school and your parents really disagree with you. And so they criticize you for it. Maybe your dad or your mom criticizes you for it. And then that makes you upset because now you're kind of agitated. You're doubtful. Okay, realize that you chose this career or you chose this major because you enjoyed it, because you had a passion for it or whatever. You had some reason for it. Because your mom criticizes you for it doesn't change your passions, doesn't change the decision you made to go into this career or into this major, right? So just kind of separate that stuff out. Very powerful. In a nutshell, what's so powerful about this is that you start to realize when you make this separation between opinions and truth is that opinions only have power over you when you agree with them. Let me repeat that again, because this is very important. Opinions only have power over you when you agree with them. That's a big thing to realize. If you can truly realize that and be conscious of that throughout your life, you're going to make yourself immune to criticism. Very powerful. The only way that you can really lose something when you're being criticized is to take that criticism seriously enough to slow yourself down in the hard work that you need to be doing towards your life purpose. So let's say you're like a train and you're on track to go somewhere far, somewhere good. You're pursuing your life purpose. You're like a train on train tracks, right? And you're going, you've built up some momentum. And then someone comes by and stands on the road, on the tracks, basically, and tells you to stop. Hold on. Stop the whole train. Now, if you want, you could stop the train. It's going to slow you down a lot, though, if every time there's someone by the tracks trying to get you to slow down or to stop. But that's totally your choice, because you're a freight train. If you want, you could keep going, and no one could stop you. They could park a car in front of you, just go right through it, because you've got that much momentum and that much power. Because in the end, these opinions are like ghosts, right? It's kind of like a ghost was on the train tracks. You just kind of like plow right through it and wouldn't even dent the train. That's the case here. Except if you start to believe that these ghosts are real and they're really solid and they can derail your whole train, then what's going to happen is every time you meet a ghost, you're going to stop. You're going to pull over. You're going to stop the whole train. And then you're going to stay there, right? You're going to stay there and that ghost could haunt you for years. And guess what? You're not going to be working towards your life purpose during this whole time. And this is the case of the crab letting himself get dragged back into the bucket. This case right here. So what's the lesson from this? Well, the lesson is that you need to be very confident and clear with yourself about your own values and goals and dreams in life and your life purpose. This is vital. This is vital. The reason that most people cannot follow this advice that I'm giving here is because they're so unclear. They have no sense of purpose. They have no clarity about their values. They have no real dreams or ambitions that they're going for. So basically, because of this, it's like, you know, their train is extremely weak. It's not going anywhere. It's already kind of standing still. So when the train is standing still, it's very easy for it to get infested with rats and worms and ghosts, haunted by ghosts and all this kind of stuff. Right? Because it's just standing there. It's like a haunted train. So the key here is that you're not that person. And if you are right now, that's okay. Admit that. That's just what's true. And you can change that, though. you can really change that. In fact, I have a whole course, my life purpose course, which deals with how to find a life purpose, how to find your true values, how to set proper goals, how to really find your passions in life. I created that course because I think it's one of the most important missing pieces that most people don't have. And I spent a lot of time personally in my life figuring that out for myself because I saw how important it was, right? I saw these dynamics and I told myself, oh, it's worth spending a few years really finding my life purpose. And it's really paid off. Now, at this point, you might have a little objection. You might say something like, well, okay, Leo, I kind of get where you're going with this. Kind of makes sense. You know, opinions are just opinions. But isn't it also the case that opinions are a little bit more than just opinions? What about, for example, when my boss has an opinion of me? You know, he's my boss. I depend on him for my salary. You know, he has a lot of say on my life. So don't I need to garner good opinions with him? Isn't that important? Isn't my boss's opinion more than just an opinion? Because he holds the purse strings. So I need to make sure he likes me. So in this case, it's kind of like I can't just ignore him. It's not just like a ghost. It's something more serious. Yeah, that could be the case. You could corner yourself in life, put yourself in such a precarious situation in life that your whole life will hinge and your fulfillment and your success in life will hinge on the opinion of one individual person. And then what you'll be doing is you'll be playing this game where you have to bend over backwards and jump through hoops for that person. And that person will like it because people like having a sense of power over other people. Or maybe, for example, it's not your boss, but maybe there's some important person like at a networking event. You need to go kiss someone's ass at a networking event because that person's promising you a prospect of a great job. And you want that job. So it's like, Leo, I need to go impress this person and I need to, you know, get a favorable opinion from him. Otherwise, I'm not going to get my good job. And that might very well be true. Here's what I'll tell you about this. Stop expecting freebies from people. The reason you have this problem is because actually what you've done is you haven't taken full responsibility for your life and for your own success. You've been kind of a victim and you've been using other people as crutches. And you've been expecting freebies from people like, oh yeah, that person's supposed to set me up with some money. And this person here is supposed to set me up with my girlfriend. And this person there is supposed to do a favor for me. And so you've got hundreds of people around you who all are like occupying these critical positions in your life. And this makes you extremely dependent on them all. And so what this means is that you're putting yourself into a really tight spot. You're basically making yourself dependent on opinions when you don't need to be. And that's probably because you've been lazy and because you didn't really want to take responsibility for yourself to go out there and do all this stuff yourself, which you could have done. You know, it's kind of comfortable to lean on somebody here and there. So what do you do about this? Well, you have to start to restructure your life a little bit. You need to take responsibility for the results and the success you want to get in your life. Create your own success. You don't want to outsource success. That's something that you should be doing. Focus your efforts not on schmoozing with people and making a lot of fancy, high-powered connections to get yourself a bunch of freebies. That's a real unfulfilling way to go through life. Instead, focus on self-reliance, on independence. Focus on creating massive value for the world through your life purpose. Make yourself independent that way. Then you're not going to be really reliant on all these opinions of other people. I mean, if you want to really create a disastrous situation for yourself, then put yourself in a position that a lot of like women will put themselves in. For example, like a stay-at-home mom who's had a couple of kids, and then she stays at home and she doesn't really go get a new job. She doesn't re-enter the workforce because she's kind of just hoping that the husband will provide for her now. And she's kind of got comfortable in that position. But now the husband is the only one who brings in the money. And maybe the husband's like a little bit abusive, like verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, and she just has to put up with it. She has to put up with it. And, you know, he holds the purse strings because he gets the paycheck. The money's all in his name and his bank account. And it's like the wife has nothing and he has everything. And so now she's really in this position of master slave. She's a slave. He's the master, right? He has the power in this position. And what happened here is that she gave her power away. She didn't have to do that. And now she's really painted herself into a corner because now she needs to curry favor with him all the time. If he now has a negative opinion of her when he comes home from work, she's going to really be upset about it. It's going to really bother her. And now this opinion is more than just a ghost. Now it's a lot more serious because now it very might be the case that, you know, if she pisses off this guy, then he won't give her the money that she was hoping for, or he won't, you know, give her something else that she was hoping for, or he might exert some kind of other external pressure on her to get her to comply. So yeah, you got to be careful about not setting up those kind of situations. This means restructuring your life strategically where necessary, thinking down the road, and eliminating these kind of dependencies. Doesn't mean you have to be neurotic and completely independent of everybody with this. You can have dependencies in your life. Just, you know, make sure the core dependencies are handled by you, especially stuff like your paycheck, your money, right? Don't be relying on other people to be your sugar daddies. And don't be relying on other people to make sure that you have work. For example, if your boss, if the opinion of your boss is the sole thing that keeps you employed, and if your boss ever stops loving you, then all of a sudden your job is going to be cut. If that's how you're earning a living and you're in that situation, you got to start to change that situation. That's a very dangerous situation to be in. You're basically sticking your head under a gun and you're hoping the other person doesn't pull a trigger. And eventually those triggers usually get pulled if they don't get triggered just by accident. So I have a little exercise for you here. Get out a piece of paper, get a pen, and write down the following statement. If I took more responsibility for creating what I want, I would restructure my life as follows. So write down this statement. I'm going to repeat it again. If I took more responsibility for creating what I want, I would restructure my life as follows. And then create a list of 5, maybe 10, maybe 20 restructures to your life that you could make so that you are more in control and you're less reliant on opinions of other people. So for example, if your boss has you in a bind and you really feel like you can't hold down your job unless he loves you, then maybe what you got to do is just say, you know what, screw this. I don't need this. You know, I don't need to be someone's little bitch. Let me go find a job where I have a boss that respects me. Let me go find a job where even if my boss disagrees with me or doesn't like me for a certain while, you know, I don't get fired just because of that. That might be one restructure that you come up with. But think deeper. Think about not just your career, but think about friendships. Think about social connections. Think about your relationships and all that stuff. All right. So that's your exercise there. But let me continue because I have a few more important insights for you. Here's the next key insight. People are critical because they procrastinate and because they fear their own greatness and because they fear hard work. Key insight. The reason that there are trolls in the world, it's subtle. It's not obvious at first why there are trolls. It looks on the surface like, well, people are just criticizing legitimate grievances. That's not what's really happening. What's really happening when I see a troll is I see someone who has no life purpose, or if they do, then they're totally off track with that life purpose. And really what they're doing is they're doing the easy thing. They're criticizing someone else. It's easy to criticize. But see, when they criticize, what they're actually doing is they're feeding into their lower self and they're using that as a form of procrastination. It's very subtle and very sneaky, self-deceptive procrastination. Because when we procrastinate in our usual way, our mind says, oh, you're procrastinating, time to stop. But when you become a troll, you become a procrastinator without knowing that you're a procrastinator. And that's what all criticism basically boils down to, is that these people who are criticizing you, whether it's your parents or your boss or your wife or your husband or whoever, if they're expending more than just a few seconds telling you something is wrong, if they're actually putting emotion into that criticism the way a hater or a troll would, they're robbing themselves, basically, of their own greatness. They don't know what their own greatness is. They don't know how to pursue their own greatness. They don't want to go do hard work towards a life purpose. They don't want to go focus the way that you're trying to focus. So they just engage in this kind of guilty pleasure of the lower self. It's almost like binge eating on ice cream or on potato chips. It's that kind of thing, you know. They're stuck in that. And then that's why a troll becomes a troll, because, you know, first he starts as like a critic, and then, you know, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And the more he procrastinates with that, then the more serious of a troll becomes, until you see these kind of people like on the internet, you know, or on YouTube, these kind of chronic trolls, which just all they do is they just watch videos and then they just leave nasty, mean comments about how everything is wrong. The world is screwed up. Society is screwed up, and everything is wrong. Everyone is wrong except them. It's not a coincidence that their ego is doing that, right? There's something really deep going on there. So how can you use this? Well, you can actually use this as a reminder of how to improve yourself and keep yourself on the narrow road. So every time you see a troll out there somewhere, just remind yourself, like, oh, yeah, that could be me. In fact, where am I acting like a troll? Who am I criticizing in some other aspect of my life? How am I procrastinating on my life purpose by being a troll? Maybe not in the same way that this guy is. Maybe I'm not so critical at my job, but maybe I'm critical with my girlfriend or my boyfriend. Or maybe I'm a troll to my children, and I nag them all the time. Why do I nag my children? Oh, it's because I'm too big of a pussy to actually go and work on my own greatness. So that's a very good reminder, because you're going to forget. This is something that's very unconscious. These dynamics are very unconscious, because the fact is that pursuing your life purpose is very challenging. It's scary. It demands everything of you to be able to do it successfully. And it's so much harder to do something constructively than to do something destructive, just like criticism. Especially criticism, not only is it destructive, but it's so lazy. It's like you get just to sit back and you get to talk shit. Talk shit. You have to be responsible for creating results. You don't have to get off your ass. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is you just have to, that monkey chatter, that negative monkey chatter in your mind, you just have to say yes to it. That's the easiest thing in the world. And the hardest thing in the world is to control that monkey chatter and to turn it from negative to positive, and then to apply it towards some sort of useful purposes in life, and then to shape and improve the entire world with that drive. That's the hardest thing. The easiest thing is just to sit back and criticize. So that's it in a nutshell. Now, before I let you go, I need to give you a couple of important warnings here. So warning number one is, this is not to be used as an excuse to reject feedback. So I'm not telling you here that now you don't have to think about feedback. Feedback is important. You need to distinguish between feedback and between criticism. Constructive criticism is otherwise known as feedback. Feedback is very important, and you're going to fail without it. So for example, if let's say you have a business and you launch a product, and then some client of yours sends you an email saying something like, your product is shit. Now, what is that? Is that criticism or is that feedback? Well, the way in which it was said, your product is shit, that tells you that that part of it is criticism. But that same exact email, that same exact sentence, also might have some valid feedback. Maybe it is the case that this customer is legitimately disappointed by some aspect of the product that you launched. Maybe there could be something improved about your product in the future. Now, this customer might have said it in a very crass way because he doesn't know any better. But you still need to be able to distinguish between feedback and criticism. Likewise, for example, if your parents are telling you that, hey, you're doing something wrong, you know, you made some bad lifestyle choices, you chose a bad major, a bad career. It's very easy to say, well, they're just being trolls and critics. I'll just ignore them and I'll just do exactly what I want to do. No, that's not what I told you. What I told you is ignore the troll part, but it might be the case that they actually have some legitimate advice or feedback that they're offering you. Maybe it's some feedback that you don't want to hear. Maybe you did choose the wrong career choice. Maybe they have your best interest at heart. Maybe they just don't know how to communicate it. You need to be able to take that kind of feedback, right? And of course, if you're sitting there at work and your boss comes to you and you guys are working on some kind of project, you're collaborating, and he tells you, hey, you know, this change you made yesterday, it's not going to work for our clients. You know, they need these kinds of changes made. So go ahead and change what you did before. Now, you might listen to what I said and you might say, well, oh, so that my boss's opinions, you know, it's all bullshit. It doesn't matter. I'll just keep doing what I want to do. No, that's not what I told you. Your boss in this case is probably offering you some valid feedback. So you need to take that into account, right? There is a difference. There is a difference. Opening up yourself to feedback, that requires you to actually summon courage. That's part of your mission of becoming great in life, is taking in valuable feedback. And there's no real paradox or contradiction here. It's just a distinction you have to make. It means that you have to stop the black and white thinking and do a little bit more grayscale thinking. And that's fine. That's what's necessary. Second warning is, this is not an excuse to be a callous asshole. So you might think something like, well, okay, Leo, you know, so I verbally abuse my wife, and every time she, you know, I come home and I verbally abuse her, and then now she's critical of me for verbally abusing her all the time. I mean, she's just a troll, right? I don't need to listen to her bullshit criticisms. No, that's not what I'm telling you. If you're verbally abusive to your wife, you're being a callous asshole. And so she might be giving you some valid feedback there about how your behavior needs to change and how you could grow and how you could be a better husband, that sort of thing. So this is not an excuse to be a callous asshole. This is not an excuse to step on people and to do egotistical and selfish things without concerning how you're impacting your environment. It's important that you have some awareness about that. And then the third warning is that this is not an excuse to be dogmatic. So you might say something like, well, okay, so Leo, you're telling me to ignore all the other perspectives in life. So, you know, I have my faith, I have my religion, I have my beliefs, I have my convictions, and I have my political party, and I believe in all this stuff, and I'm just going to like cling to it even more now. I'm going to entrench myself. You gave me permission to entrench myself in my beliefs. Now to, you know, fuck everybody else and fuck all the other perspectives in life. No, that's not what I'm telling you. I'm kind of telling you actually the exact opposite. You need to be going around and looking at the other perspectives, taking in all the other feedback, studying and learning stuff that you otherwise would be resistant to learn because of your closed-minded ego. Not taking criticism does not mean that you entrench yourself in your dogmas. So be careful about that as well. All right. So that's basically it. Remember, focus on what's real. Focus on the truth. And also focus on your creative mission in life. Focus on your life purpose. Speaking of which, if you're not sure what your life purpose is, and you've been scratching your head this whole time as I was talking about it, then I think it would really benefit you to go check out my Ultimate Life Purpose course. I worked really hard on it. It will really set you on the right direction in life. You'll find out your values. You'll find out your top passions. You'll find out a lot of practical concepts that you need to know to start to go and actually carry that out in your life. And as you put that piece of the puzzle into place and you combine it with a lot of the insights I gave you here about criticism, you will make yourself immune to criticism. And that will be a huge relief for you. A lot of people, you know, we waste most of our day worrying about what other people think of us and how they're criticizing us. And it's just like, it's such an unfulfilling way to go through life. Think about the opposite. Think about being impervious to criticism, open to feedback, open-minded, exploring life, exploring different points of view, and going forward on your mission, making an impact in the world. That's the kind of life you want. That's a self-actualized life. All right, so I hope you check that out. Anyways, I'm signing off. Go ahead, post me your comments down below. Please click the like button. Share this video with a friend. And lastly, come check out actualize.org right here. You'll find the life purpose course there. Also, you can find the newsletter. I have a free newsletter. I release new videos on self-actualization topics, very similar to this, every single week. My mission is to help you to get a self-actualized life going. This is not an easy thing. I'm not here giving you get-rich-quick schemes and magic pill solutions for all your emotional problems. It's actually just the opposite. I want to convince you that there's something really worth working for here with self-actualization. There's a lot of advanced concepts that you need to understand, very practical concepts about how your psychology works and how the psychology of life works, other people work. When you understand these things and you can see what's possible for you in life, that's when your life takes on a charge and an excitement that you're probably missing otherwise. When you find your life purpose, and then you get involved with self-help, and you start reading books, and you start taking some seminars, and you watch more of my videos or other people's videos, that's when your life gets exciting. That's when you're growing. One of the greatest, most rewarding experiences in life is just growth. And most people lack this, because once they get out of high school or college, all their growth stops. They stop growing. They stop learning. And most importantly, they're not learning the practical things they really need to know to master life. And that's what I'm here to help you to do. So if you stay on board with my newsletter, you're going to be getting weekly updates. And that's what I found is the best way. That's how you're going to really grow yourself here, is just stay on board with me every single week. Watch the videos, do some of the little exercises that I give you. A few years from now, your life is going to start to transform in amazing ways. And then 10 or 20 years from now, you could really be a mover and shaker in the world, a real leader. You could really make a big difference in the world. And that's going to be reflected also. It's going to be mirrored back on you. And you're going to have that sense of fulfillment that otherwise you would never have been able to get. So I hope you like that idea. If you do, sign up, stay tuned, and I'll see you soon.